for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday Afternoon Youth Meeting, July the 5th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on soul ties.
Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come and learn from your word. God, I thank you for everything that we've learned this week so far. The week is half over. That means we only have half left to go. But we thank you for the time that we have left that we can pour into these children just a little bit more, God. God, I ask you just to give them, put a lot of peace, a spirit of peace fall over this place. Because I know, God, I know you have a word through Jerry. I thank you for what Jerry is going to teach us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can you guys stay awake and alert? This is kind of a sleepy time of the day. Well, the first thing that, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, I pray your words will be like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, the shepherd. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the principles I teach them today, they will never forget throughout their life. In Jesus' name. When my granddaughter was about 6 months old, I started telling her a story. I know a pig is an unclean animal, but I started telling her a story about wise pig and foolish pig, and I'll start out by telling you that story. There was a wise pig and a foolish pig, and the foolish pig built his house on the sand for himself. And wise pig built his house upon the rock, which was Jesus. And so foolish pig was sitting and watching cartoons and watching TV, and all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. Foolish pig, let me come in. And foolish pig said, you better let me come in or I'm going to blow your house down. Y'all have heard that story, all of it, about the wise pig and the foolish pig. Well, if this is getting changed, you haven't. Well, this is getting changed up a little bit. All of a sudden, Wolf huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he blew foolish pig's house down. Foolish pig hysterically ran to wise pig's house, who had built his house on the rock, which was Jesus. And he said, wise pig, let me come in. He said, Wolf's trying to get me. And wise pig, he calmly opened the door. And he said, don't you know, foolish pig, that Wolf can't get you when you're being obedient to the Lord? And so he locked the door, and he went and calmly made them both a cup of hot chocolate. And Wolf was raging at the door. Wise pig, you better let me come in. I'm going to blow your house down. And he said, wise pig said, Wolf, you can't get us when we're being obedient to the Lord. So Wolf thought he had come up another way. He was looking for a more opportune time. He thought, well, if I can catch Wise Pig off guard, then I can blow his house down. Well, he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed, and he could not blow Wise Pig's house down because it was built on the rock Jesus. So Wolf, he climbed up on the roof, and he thought he was going to come down through the chimney. And the minute he got up on the chimney, the angel of the Lord grabbed him around the neck, threw him on the ground, and he slinkered off, thinking that he might come at a more opportune time to get Wise Pig and Foolish Pig. And so Foolish Pig learned a very valuable lesson that day, that he became Wise Pig too, because he realized that Wolf can't get you when you become obedient to the Lord. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalms 91. How many of you have your Bibles? I love what one of your leaders said, that you need to read the Bible. Because how do you know what God wants you to do if you don't read the Bible? I started reading the Bible to Kyle when he was just a little bitty boy. And then I'd read the Bible to Todd, my youngest son, before they went to school. Kyle was always eager to hear the Word. But I would tell Todd, "Todd, come on, let's read the Word." I'd read it separately, and he'd go. And see, he lived a homosexual lifestyle, lived a life of sin, and he died when he was 25 years old in 3 days. Because he learned that the wages of sin is death. Wherever you violate the Word of God, you've got a demon problem. Sometimes people think, well, you know, you have to violate the law, the Word of God a whole lot of times before that happens. But any violation of the Word of God will open you up to the enemy's attack. You know, Miss Carla shared last night about when you were here when she read the scripture in Deuteronomy that if a parent had a disobedient child, a rebellious son who was a drunk, he was to take him to the elders of the church, and the elders would stone him to death with real rocks, would kill him. Well, you know, you say, well, that's the Old Testament, but do you know how it applies in the New Testament? You still get spiritually stoned. Now you get stoned. God lets the powers of darkness whip up on you. And I want you to see that in Psalms 91. Ralph, you want to show the God's refuge. I showed this last year to some of you, but those of you who haven't seen this need to see this. My grandson, who is he's going to be a senior at the University of Texas, he told me that, "Grandmother, this helped me more than anything to know that when..." just go on to the refuge. Yeah. Keep going. There. You see, Psalms 91 represents God's refuge. And in Psalms 91, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'll not be afraid of the snare of the trapper or the noisome pestilence that stalks at noontime. For 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. Why? Because I make the Lord my God my refuge, even the Most High my habitation." So God's refuge is a spiritual place that you cannot see with the human eye. But it's a place, it's more real than this building, because the Word says the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. So that's another word for God's refuge. So when you're walking in obedience to the Lord, God protects you. When you step outside of God's refuge, give me the next one. You see that, well, let's back up. This is the picture.
Terry, can't hear you
for the recording. Oh, sorry. This is a picture of God's refuge, Psalms 91. When you're under God's refuge, it says that God's refuge, it says, is like a rainstorm against a wall. Have you ever been in the house and it's raining and the rain is hitting the wall and it can't get you to you because you're nice and dry? But it says God's refuge is like a rainstorm against the wall. The enemy's darts fly outside of God's refuge. Now, God don't just give you over to the devil, but if you're not walking here on the right path, like Miss Carla said last night, if you choose God's path, the right path, then you're protected. But you choose Satan's path, you choose to step outside of God's refuge, and you get stoned. You think, well, you know, I don't get stoned with rocks anymore. Well, now, when you step over here, the demons can stone you and whip you back in line if you're wise. And I've learned that when something starts hitting me, I'm saying, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? And then I repent and get back over here. Okay, now I'll show what happens when you get out from under God's refuge. You see that the enemy attacks you. So this principle I want you to remember. So many times we think when people need deliverance, oh, you poor thing, you got a demon problem, but it's you poor thing, you got a God problem. When you step outside of God's will, you're asking for trouble. Now, those of you who are parents in here, most parents run out and rescue their children, and when they do, they take the hits, and then they're mad at the child. Show that last one about the mother that runs out and tries to protect. Keep going, if you will. Keep going. Keep going. Wait, back up. Okay, so this is a rebellious child, and what happens is mothers and daddies that are enablers, okay, now run out, do the next one, Ralph, and one more, and she covers him with her umbrella, and guess who gets hit? She does, and she's mad. But see, the Bible says, my mother and father forsake me or cut me loose. Back up over here. Back over here, Ralph. The Lord will take me up. And so many parents don't realize that when they enable their children, what they're doing is they're in rebellion because they're getting in God's way of His disciplining His children. And so don't get mad at your mother and dad when they have rules that protect you. You'll be so thankful. When Kyle was a little boy, about 8 years old, he'd say, Mama, can I do that? And I'd say, no, son, you can't. And he said, well, you just don't trust me. And I say, yes, I trust you, but I don't trust everybody else. Son, you're just a little twig right now, and the wind can blow you over. But when you're a strong oak tree, nobody can blow you over. And you see, I see that happened in Kyle's life. He was an obedient son. He had a brother that was a disobedient son, and his brother died when he was 25 years old of AIDS because he had lived a perverted, sinful, homosexual lifestyle. And so don't get the idea that getting into sexual sin, there is a cost and there is a price to pay. Okay, the next one on soul ties. But really, what I want to share is on soul ties. And do the next one, Ralph. A soul tie is a connection in the spirit. You can be joined like a string, like a thread, like a string, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin that you've been involved with. And a soul tie, you cannot see a soul tie, like if Nathan and I are connected in the spirit, if we have a soul tie, you can't see it, but a soul tie causes a person to act like who they have a soul tie with. And through soul ties, when you violate God's word, you get a soul tie with whoever you sin with. And I want to warn you children, grown-ups, teenagers, about getting into pornography. Did you know that Satanists make the pornography? And they put curses on it to hook you in and drag you down to the deepest sewer of the world. And if y'all have looked at pornography, you need to break soul ties with whoever you looked at, because Jesus said if you even look at somebody to lust after them, you've committed adultery in your heart. It's same as having sex with them, only you're doing it in your mind. If you open yourself up to pornography, you're opening yourself up to homosexual spirits, because they do all kinds of orgies with men, with women, men and men, women, with animals, with children. And, you know, this sounds like something that would be X-rated material for you young people, but I can tell you, y'all, some of you have got more sense than your mom and dads have to even let you watch such stuff. And I'm not trying to undermine your mom and dad, but I'm warning you, do not get into pornography or sexual sin. And when I said that, is sometimes I see parents, see you children, you buck your mother and daddy when they try to get you to tell you something good. You might buck against them, but many parents encourage sin, and that's what I mean. Because the same spirits that are working in the parents are working in the children. So if you see your mom and dad doing something they shouldn't do that violates the word of God, you need to pray for them and you need to forgive them. And don't turn to a promise, when I grow up, life's going to be different. You've got to forgive them so you won't be set up to do the same thing. But a soul tie is a connection in the spirit. You can't see it with the human eye. And every place you violate God's word, with whoever you violate God's word with, you have a soul tie. The next one, Ralph. You can have soul ties with hundreds and thousands of people. And through a soul tie, you get a part of them and they get a part of you. You get their familiar spirits. You get their mental problems. You get their sexual perversions. You get their bad habits. And that's why sometimes when you go to school and you want to fit in with the crowd and you compromise, it opens you up to a demonic soul tie. And then when you get grown up, you're wondering what in the world's, why am I trying to break a spirit of perversion? Or why am I trying to break a pornography addiction? Or why am I trying to break a sexual addiction? Or why am I trying to break a drug addiction, alcohol addiction? It's because whoever you have a soul tie with, you've got the addictions and the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. And so I've discovered that without breaking soul ties, there's no healing or deliverance, because unless you sinned on your own. But most of the time, we're sinning with other people. If you have an alcohol problem, you need to break soul ties with whoever you drink alcohol with. And when you're drunk, you do things you don't remember you did. Or if you take drugs, you do things that you don't remember what you did. So I'm not trying to give you X-ray material. You probably have seen it all on TV already. But I'm just warning you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Okay, I want to see some things that give you soul ties. Ungodly soul ties occur between people when there's a lack of God-centeredness. Make sure your friends are God-centered. It's a joining of ideas. A human person's mind, will, emotions, and their human spirit. And David and Jonathan had a healthy soul tie. But you get soul ties, they either affect you in a positive way or negative way. A positive soul tie, it says in the body of Christ, that when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And so the sins you commit, you need to confess before you go to bed at night. Don't go to bed angry, because it opens you up to the devil's traps. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Every place you dishonor your mother and father, life will not go well for you. And honor means you forgive them by sundown. I wish somebody would have taught me this when I was a child. I wouldn't have had as much pain and as many problems as I've had if somebody would have told me. I probably would have been too stupid to listen. Sometimes you have to go through things before you listen. Okay, you have soul ties through fornication. I remember I was in Austin once, and a girl came up to me. She was in college, and she said, "I have warts on my face." I said, "Do you have a boyfriend?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Does he have warts?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Have you been sexually promiscuous with him?" And she said, "Yes." And so I led her in a prayer to repent. The warts didn't leave right then, but I met her mother about 8 months later, and I said, "Does your daughter still have warts?" And I didn't tell the mother what the daughter had been involved in. She said, "No, they're gone." You see, the warts transferred through sexual sin. Okay, you can have soul ties through adultery. That means adultery is when there's married people having relationships with other married people. Out of wedlock. Carla called it last night illegal sex. And it's also fornication. Any kind of abnormal thing. Save yourself for your wife if you're a young man. And if you're a young woman, save yourself for your wife. And if you're a young girl, you save yourself for your husband. Through perverted family ties, through people controlling you, through incest. That's when a family member even thinks about or touches you in a place that's inappropriate. That's called incest. That goes 2,045 forefathers. And so those things need to be broken. Through molestation, somebody touching you in an inappropriate way. Through satanic rituals, through bestiality. How many of you ever seen people that look like they're animals? Have you? That's through soul ties. I was teaching in Austin, Texas, and a girl came up to me and she said her ankle was bandaged. And she said, "Pray for me," and she wanted me to pray for something else. I said, "What happened to your leg?" And she said, I jumped down the stairs when I was about 5 years old, and my mother told me not to. So I led her in repentance of forgive. And then she started crying. She was a 16-year-old girl. She started crying. She said, we used to have a farm and we used to have horses. And she said, and my mother married this man that was financially in debt. And she said, I had to sell my horse and it broke my heart. And I said, your horse didn't have a bad leg, did he? And he did. And when I led her to forgive her stepfather and her mother, God instantly healed her ankle. She had a soul tie with her horse. Another time I was in Dallas, Texas teaching, and a lady came up and she said, pray for my daughter and my son. My son's got a lung problem and my daughter has got a stomach problem. And she said, and pray for our cats. They always die. And so the Holy Spirit quickened to my mind that the young man, and she said, and the last cat we had a lung problem. So then I let him, you know, sometimes when you're children and you lose somebody you love, you make a promise, I'll never let him go. Well, through a soul tie, you're holding it on to them in the spirit realm. And so when she said that last cat that died had a stomach problem, then I knew the Holy Spirit told me the problem. When I led the boy to repent of hanging on to the cat in the spirit after he died, broke soul ties with the cat, the boy's lungs were instantly healed. And whatever left him was so big, he turned to his sister, and he said, Julie, that other cat we had had a stomach problem. The little boy and the girl both were healed that day just through breaking soul ties. I see more people healed and delivered through breaking soul ties than any other thing. That's why sometimes there's homeschool kids and they're not involved with the wrong kind of kids. But mama sends, and I'm not criticizing, but they have to go to public school and now all of a sudden they're acting like all their friends. The scripture says evil companions corrupt good morals. The scripture says if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You can have soul ties through touching the dead, through giving drugs, taking alcohol, giving alcohol, whatever you do under the influence of drugs and alcohol, through movies. And when I said a while ago, sometimes parents are foolish, is that they let their kids, you're a spiritual garden, and the Word of God is seed, and words are seeds. I had shared this to the grown-ups before, that I used to have a terrible problem getting into strife really easy because I watched Clint Eastwood. Now, this is way, this is way long time ago. You probably don't even know who those people are. But I used to watch Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson movies because that's what my husband liked. Well, that's nothing but shoot 'em up, guns, strife, murder, killing, contention, strife. Because, see, the seeds of strife were being planted in my heart. Carla mentioned a situation where last night where a girl, these two girls, this spirit would appear in their room. And come to find out, they were watching movies of, what else you say, ghost, whatever, poltergeist. They were watching movies, and they were planting these demons down in most movies, and things today are geared to plant occultic things down in you. God says, watch over your heart. Be careful what you put down in your heart, for out of your heart proceed the issues of life. So we're to guard our spiritual gardens. Get your parents to play the Word of God while you sleep and let the Word of God be planted in your heart. You know, if I had little babies today and knew what I knew now, the Word of God would be going continually in the nursery. Continually. I've listened to the Word of God every night since 1990. Every night I listen to the Word of God until I come down here, and it's just too much stuff to bring. But I listen to the Word of God, and I pray it loud, because the Bible says in Song of Solomon, your body sleeps, but your spirit is still awake. and plant good things in your heart. Be careful what kind of seeds you put in your heart. You plant corn in a garden, you're going to get corn, more corn, later corn. Same thing you plant, you're going to get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. And so you're going to get the same thing that's planted down in your heart. And so you're a spiritual garden. You judge your mother and father. You'll either marry somebody like your mother and father or you'll be like them yourself. So forgive your mother and dad for before you go to bed. Don't let just anybody lay hands on you, because you get the demons of whoever's laying hands on you if their hands are not holy. Watch what kind, what you're sitting under, because the scripture says in Luke 6:40 that after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. Don't join yourself with a harlot, because the Bible says you become one with them. And so if you want to be wise, you walk with wise people. If you want to be a fool, run with fools. And you'll be acting just like them, doing just like they do. Honor your father and mother. If your mother and father are not doing everything, they won't do everything perfect because nobody's perfect. But pray for your mom and dad. I wish I'd have prayed for my mother and dad, but I didn't know to. I didn't know the Lord till I was... till I was 25 years old. I wasted a lot of years. Don't associate with adulterers. The Bible says not to even eat a meal with someone who claims to be a Christian, who is an idolater, adulterer, or somebody that's living in willful sin. As you know, there are a lot of people that claim to be believers, but they are not living an upright, holy life. They just believe in Jesus in their head. If there's never been a time when God changed your heart, you need to be born again. I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade. I kept doing things that did not please God. I kept smoking and cussing and telling dirty jokes, and my life never changed. But when I got born again, everything about me changed. God gave me a new heart, and I've been a work in progress. He's still setting me free. He's still delivering me. But a curse word came out of my mouth, and I said, I didn't even go to church. And I said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say. You see, I tell people sometime when corrupt communication comes out of their mouth, what's in your heart comes out your mouth. What's in your heart comes up into your thought life. If you want to get rid of perverted things, then begin planting the Word of God in your heart. If you have an evil thought, find out how it got there and ask God to pluck that seed out of your heart. In Romans 1, it says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. As Miss Carla said last night, there's two paths to walk. There's a path of righteousness. God says, I've set before you this day death and life, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. Honor your mother and father. Obey your mother and father. Pray for your mother and father. They love you more than anyone in the whole world. Respect your mother and father, because however you treat your mother and father is how your kids are going to treat you. However you treat your grandparents is how your grandchildren are going to treat you. By your standard of measure, it would be measured back to you, the Word of God says. That means that whatever you do to people, good or bad, is going to come back to you 7 times over. Okay, why don't you stand up and let's find out, is there any place that you're in rebellion? Any place you're being attacked? Is there soul ties with any person that you have a soul tie because you've sinned against anyone? This is what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Lord to show you every person that you have sinned with or sinned against. And then when you're through repenting, asking God to forgive you for everything you did with them, everything they did to you, and then sit down and And then we'll do a group deliverance, okay? So, Lord, pray with me. Lord, search my heart.
Test my thoughts.
Let me know the truth, Lord,
that sets me free.
If I need to be born again, Lord, forgive me for not being willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. And Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for saturating myself with in front of the TV, with cartoons, evil movies, and I forgive my parents for letting me watch them. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. After the Lord shows you whatever and you're through repenting, if you'll sit down, we'll do a group deliverance and then we'll be through and you might get a break a little bit. Before I pray, I want to apologize to you. I should not have said you're smarter than your parents, because you're not. Your parents were smart enough to bring you to a deliverance camp. I'm talking about the world in general. The world in general, they let their kids do all kinds of things. And what I want you to repent of is your rebellion in fussing at your mother and daddy when they're trying to get you to do something that will be for your best good. So, Lord, I forgive my parents. And forgive me for rebellion and not staying under your refuge. Everybody pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Lord, forgive me for running with evil companions. Forgive me for being angry and rebellious. Forgive me for being disrespectful to my mother and father. Forgive me for being disobedient to my mother and father. Thank you for giving me a mom and dad that have wisdom enough to want me to sit under the Word of God. Lord, I know my parents will make mistakes and I'll make mistakes. But Lord, we all do the best we know how. When my son was dying of AIDS, I said, "Son, would you forgive me for not being the kind of mother you could crawl up in my lap and tell me your problems?" You know what he said? "Oh, Mom, you did the best you knew how." And so I did do the best I knew how, but I made a lot of mistakes. And I'm thankful for the grace of God that gave me a godly son in spite of me. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for evil companions. Forgive me for touching people where I shouldn't touch them. I forgive people for touching me where they shouldn't have touched me. God, I just forgive me for looking at evil, committing sexual sins that nobody but me knows about. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger, setting evil on my eyes. In the name of Jesus. God, forgive me for making idols out of friends, acceptance, compromise, double-mindedness. Lord, I've been a slave to sin. And Father, in Jesus' name, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and possess my body and drive out every evil spirit. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut all soul ties with every person you have shown me that I have sinned with or sinned against. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I command the familiar spirits. I command the perversion. I command lust In Jesus' name, leave every person in this room. I command fear, doubt, unbelief, anger, all spirits that came in through looking on evil, looking at pornography, go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command fear to go, bitterness, resentment, rebellion, antichrist. Lord, I don't want, pray with me, Lord, I don't want to be stoned by the enemy. I want to build my house on a rock. The rock Jesus. That's safe. In Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I command in Jesus' name all sexual perversion demons to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of all the negative repercussions, familiar spirits of evil companions, the wrong friends, in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Every place you get mad at your mother and dad and you let the sun go down on your anger, if you don't tell God you forgive them and forgive them by sundown, that sets in motion a reaping force that will cause you to continue to reap what you judge them for. For example, if you judge them, they just don't love me, or they reject me, and you don't go to God with that by sundown, it's going to set you up with rejection, and you won't ever find anyone that you think really loves you till you go back and you repent. Does that make sense? Okay, God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.